From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm your host, Kennedy Vincent. Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We're bringing you interviews and in-depth stories connected to Black and immigrant communities in Central Illinois. We start today's dialogue with Lamont Holden, who is also known as Letter L Beats. He's a music producer, audio engineer, podcast host, and voting member of the Recording Academy. Did I mention he's also a professor at the University of Illinois? He teaches hip-hop music production. As an alum, Holden returned to campus after spending 4 years in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, as a music producer. He's a growing name and leader, not just in the music industry, but in the community. He's creating opportunities not just for students, but anyone outside of the university who's intrigued to learn more about music. He's bringing the first ever Illini Writing Camp to the university. It's building a pipeline between Atlanta and Champaign-Urbana. The camp is in partnership with the Boom Boom Room Productions Writing Camp and in-house producer Tasia G. It's a creative session for artists, writers, and producers. Holden started an online platform called Campus Culture. It's a podcast for hip-hop content and ranges anywhere from conversations to ciphers.
I'm your host, Lamont Holden, professor of music, audio, and recording technology here at the School of Music at the University of Illinois in the Fine and Applied Arts Department. This is Campus Culture, conversations for the culture here on the campus at the University.
We talk about what it's like to teach as a Black male in higher academia.
For me as a Black male, it's not a space that has a lot of us. I try to work with my colleagues across the country. Sometimes I have to pound my fist on the table. Sometimes I might have to risk getting fired.
And we talk about the impact of this community work that is being birthed in Champaign-Urbana and how he plans to keep the university open to all community members.
You have this rich international resource, and the kids from the hood can't even touch it unless they can dribble a basketball real well.
He also speaks on the next steps we have to take in order to build success.
I care about artists. I care about their development. Everybody's cut a little bit differently. And even for those of us that might have that kind of like dream, that ambition inside of us, that little voice that calls from inside, not all of us have the courage to follow it because it means a lot of uncertainty and insecurity.
We welcome him in studio with us today. Lamont Holden, welcome to Dialogue. First of all, you created Dialogue's theme song. Thank you.
No problem. I'm glad y'all used that.
You are an alum from the U of I.
Yes.
I want to talk a bit about what was on campus when you were there and when you were a student regarding music instruction, and what is it compared to now?
Good question. Wow. Honestly, so I came here on a football scholarship and I was doing like creative writing, LAS, you know, I don't know what I wanted to do for the Daily Illini for a short time. And actually, if you look that up, it's a story about hip hop. It's funny. I work for WPGU, The Planet, as well, but that's not a hip hop station. I still don't think it is. It's interesting because at that time, I was working for them right when Hey Ya broke. You know, as far as I know, I didn't know anything about the School of Music. I mean, I barely even went to the Urbana side of campus. I knew like two people that you could like either maybe go over their crib and make a beat sometimes if they had their brother's computer that weekend or something like that. But nah, not anything official.
When you left the U of I and graduated, you were working in Atlanta for a while and you were really in the heartbeat of the music industry. Why did you come back?
When I graduated, I went to Chicago and I was doing public relations. And then from there, I was in education and coaching for about 12 years. During that time, I started teaching myself how to make beats. I think here's what it is, right? Everybody's cut a little bit differently. And even for those of us that might have that kind of like dream, that ambition inside of us, that little voice that calls from inside, not all of us have the courage to follow it because it means a lot of uncertainty and insecurity. I think winding up in Atlanta was having the courage to follow that voice. Like I had been making beats for a while, right? But you start to understand when the rubber hits the road, and this is where I kind of teach this a little bit, right? There's this very thick, I don't even call it a line, it's more like a membrane between, you know, people who are very serious amateurs and people who are actually professional. I had to get to the place where it happens in order to find out what it means to be a professional. What everybody's doing is they're gathering all the their available skill sets, right? They prioritize the number one thing they want to do. They figure out how to use all those skill sets to push that thing through. Now, sometimes that might mean I'm a beat maker who's also a podcaster, but podcasting helps me move my beats forward. In gathering all of my available skill sets, I realized, well, you know, I have a master's in education and I am a teacher. How can I combine that with I really want to make beats and I want to be on major albums. I want to be on soundtracks. One, there's literally a process to doing that, but also it's learning about how culture drives music. At the end of the day, you're not selling songs, you're selling culture, you're selling ideas, catchphrases, vacation photo captions, that kind of thing. And so then I said, I need to remain connected to Atlanta, but I also need to feed myself. And U of I really wanted me to come back. And this is something I talked about a long time ago, maybe as far back as like 2018, building a pipeline from Atlanta to Champaign, Urbana. And so in doing that, it's kind of like they say you can't make $1 million unless you can make $1 million for other people. My job is to get into the industry, find out everything, teach it, and then help provide opportunities for people. And then in that, I can find my way in, right? Because you can't, don't be selfish. Be grateful. You know, don't be selfish. Try to help other people.
It's about sharing.
Yeah.
It's about sharing the knowledge for the community. I want to backtrack for a second. Mm-hmm. How was your influence in Atlanta?
Okay. The number one thing was probably Producer Grind. Producer Grind, when I first started seeing Producer Grind, they were doing a lot of work with Zaytoven because Gucci Mane was bussing at the time, right? And so Zaytoven's whole thing was, well, while he's popular, I'm going to get on the internet and make a bunch of beats. And every producer that was anybody wanted to flock to him. Dude named Dylan, he's from Rochester, and he established this company where in order to make beats, you need sounds. A lot of times you need loops, just MIDI kits, different things to like tools to kind of like build your beats, right? What makes certain things popular is whatever artist is popular, whoever their producer is, you want those sounds. Well, at that time, it's like 2015, 2016, Atlanta, it's everything, right? So this kid who starts this business, you know, just using SEO and Google, moves to Atlanta to really get his company popping. So in addition to having sounds, he starts making like beat making videos. And you know, the producer that made that beat that's hot this week, he's gonna put them on camera, right? And then everybody's using FL Studio at this time, right? And so what happened was he started a podcast. When I got to Atlanta, I just hit the ground running. Like, what makes me different from a lot of producers is I'm very extroverted. Most producers are introverted. And I just got out there and I became like, I started working for a bunch of, there's other companies that kind of did stuff for producers. And so I kind of worked with them just to kind of get a feel for it. He actually came to me, was like, look, I'm starting a podcast. You seem like you know what you're doing. Come help me out. I basically, within the first episode, halfway through the first episode, one of his sound designers, making these sounds for producers, he put him in the B chair as a co-host, right? Again, producers are introverted, right? So halfway through the cut, because we were interviewing like Drake's producer. And so halfway through, he's like, yo, jump in there. And I know what to do. I know how to ask questions. Again, I never majored in journalism, but I had that experience working at, you know, the Daily Illini, which kind of informed a lot of what I want. And plus, I wanted to learn how to be a better producer. So it was easy for me to, you know, become the question asker, to be, you know, hungry for that. And so through that, I did their first 30 episodes. They're still going right now. We did Drummer Boy. We did Zaytoven, we did DJ Toon. Just basically every producer you could think of that's been on the charts in the last 5 years, we interviewed them or we were in the studio with them while they were making beats. You know, with that, the thing is you want to link up and coming producers with like industry vet producers. And in order to be no industry vet producers, you got to have like experience and build relationships. And that takes time. That means you have to be cool with somebody. They have to care who you are. You have to be of value to them. That's how I got cool with DJ Burnwin. That's how I got cool with Stolen Drums. GO6, 21 Savage's producer that was just on the project he dropped, right? So when I'm down there, a lot of my face card is attributed to the fact that they saw me on Producer Grind.
When you're in the classroom teaching your students, how important is it that you're teaching them the networking skills when they're out in the field?
Paramount. Because it's interesting. They were getting scolded last week because there's email addresses on the board for producers that have said, send me loops. And none of them has sent them loops. There's a student right now who's about to graduate in the College of Computer Science. And he's also a producer. He met DJ Burnwin 2 years ago. DJ Burnwin, like I said, he just got that placement with Don Toliver last year. He's got a placement with Trinidad James through that relationship. He's not even in the School of Music. And so it's like, what are you doing that's in this guy loops, right? And so, yes, the networking, because it's who I like to work with. It's whose loops I like reaching for when I'm making that beat. It's whose drum sounds I like messing with. It's who I don't mind FaceTiming or hitting on Instagram. It's whose humor I get. And those are the people I want to work with. And that ends up being the person who, because Burnwin has relationships with everybody.
What's happening right now with music in higher education?
Higher ed is realizing that a lot of the music that is popularly consumed, listened to, re-listened to, that gets placed in movies, a lot of that hasn't been taught traditionally in schools of music, right? And that does include hip-hop, right? But also just, you know, music made on computers, period. Different programs are in different spaces and places with that, right? And it's not always how much technology you have. Sometimes it's about how much culture you understand. Sometimes it's about understanding the current moment. I don't know anybody else in the country that brought Back of the Class, a one mic rap performance platform. They're based out of Memphis, because one mic rap performance platforms are the thing now, right? You know, good God, I'm so grateful I had the wherewithal to think to pivot to it. Ice Spice blew up off of On the Radar, right? And I dream of, even if I have one student that's able to just tour for the rest of their life as a rap artist and just feed themselves, right? I'd be okay with that. They don't even have to be in Ice Spice, right? But that happened in like October of 22. By October 23, we were up and running with Campus Culture. I just knew. I said, we have to be in the current moment. When you ask what's going on in the current moment, I think a lot of direct School of Music directors are drowning, gasping for air, reaching for anything they can, which unfortunately a lot of times is just a white dude who likes the culture but is not immersed in the culture. And so my response to that is to know exactly what time it is with the culture. To some respects, it's a culture of youth, right? I'm not the youngest person in the room, but I have really good relationships with those that are. It's because I'm a producer, which means I care about artists, I care about their development, I care about the trajectory of their career. I have a lot of information to offer them, and so in turn, they give me that kind of cultural understanding.
How important is it for a Black male perspective in music and also in higher education to be in the classroom?
Before that, it's more important for a Black woman perspective. Shouts out to Susie Analog, Professor Maya Shipman at University of North Carolina. There should be more voices in the room. I had a student, she turned her digital content into a series about students who shared stories about being queer. Man, that's cool. For me as a Black male, it's not a space that has a lot of us. I try to work with my colleagues across the country. Sometimes I have to pound my fist on the table. Sometimes I might have to risk getting fired, you know what I'm saying? But I know it's offering an opportunity for somebody to come behind me.
You also bring in a lot of outside voices, a lot of your other colleagues, and like you said, from around the country. How impactful is that for your students to bring Renegade in and Tasia in?
Yeah, it's very impactful. I think you have those two folks that are really in it, right? And all they're in it, they're in it from the perspective of, you know, they work with one of the veterans of hip-hop in Big Boy. Renegade, in his own right, he's a freaking Grammy winner, right? Killer Mike's on a run right now. When I say the networking part of it, what's happening right now, that part of it. So we had Boom Boom Room Productions Writing Camp, which we do 5 times a year, down at Stankonia Studios, home of Dungeon Family, Outkast, CeeLo Green, Killer Mike, Big Boy, Andre 3000, Goody Mob, and where Renegade does amazing work as a head engineer. We had some students come down, engineering students come down and shadow him, right? While he's doing our sessions on the Sundays, say through the first half of the year or whatever, now he's doing Killer Mike sessions during the week, and everything he's working with Killer Mike on is they're getting better and better and better. He's bringing right to our students. And so I think when you talk about a true learning opportunity when it comes to improving your craft, yeah. When you're talking about networking, yeah. When you're talking about an actual opportunity to get placements, which is what we do through not only through Boom Boom Room Productions Writing Camp, but also now that we're bringing it here with Illini Writing Camp on April 21st, it's an actual chance to get your music placed, whether it's through Sync or an opportunity to get placed with Big Boy.
What are the core foundations or the core fundamentals that you're teaching your students?
I mean, for beat making, right? So we're talking about DAW skills, composition, sound design, mixing, and creativity. If you've been working, I try to meet you where you are and recognize that most DAWs, digital audio workstations, or DAWs, they're basically the same, right? They have a sequencer, they have some kind of devices, that, you know, instruments that create sounds and then effects, and they have some kind of mixer. For engineering, it kind of comes back to that, getting them to the point where they are in their practice, whether they're beginning, intermediate, or advanced practice. And some students are able to actually get paid to practice. And a lot of those students are the ones who we have Audio Engineer Campus Culture, which is our podcast that acts as the exemplar not only for audio recording techniques too, as well as critical audio listening, but also for our digital content production course. Some students have never touched an audio interface when they get in that class. And then some students, they started engineering live at their church when they're in high school and they already have their own business. If you're at the highest levels, you can learn by teaching others the fundamentals because you got to go back to your basics and reinforce what you do. So I do a lot of that. We do a lot of pairing and they collaborate on projects and things like that. And again, collaboration is a huge part of my class as well.
We're talking with Lamont Holden on how to connect higher education with the current music industry. After a short break, we'll talk about how hip hop has changed and why it's shifting our culture today. Then we're honoring Dr. P's legacy of hip-hop music, community impact, and connections at the university. Stay with us after the break here on Dialogue. You're listening to Dialogue from Illinois Soul. We're sharing stories straight from the soul of Black and immigrant communities in Illinois. I'm Kennedy Vincent. And we're continuing our dialogue with University of Illinois professor Lamont Holden. He graduated from the U of I after coming here to play football, but found his calling as a producer. He's worked with huge names in the industry, like Renegade and Zaytoven. For the past few years, he's been back at the U of I teaching hip-hop music production. He talked with me about what he teaches in the classroom, remembering hip-hop STEM educator William Patterson, and how a high schooler who loves hip-hop in Champaign-Urbana could get enrolled in his future writing camps. Do you talk about how chasing fame is not instant and how to manage those expectations while entering the music industry with your students?
Do you love music? That's what I care about. Because people who are chasing fame and clout don't love music. People who are chasing fame and clout don't recognize the opportunity. Somebody who's chasing fame and clout will show up to Campus Culture every time, but not show up to, like, you know, the Grammy U meeting to find out how to become a Grammy U member, which ultimately leads to becoming a voting member in the Recording Academy, right? And so I don't think I've ever had to explicitly have that conversation. A lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, people understand that you have to compartmentalize, right? So there's like long-term plays that can bring me income in the music industry that might fulfill me more, right? Like being an artist or being a producer of record. But then there are shorter-term plays like perhaps being an engineer or, you know, selling my composed loops and trying to get placed that way or, you know, doing mixing for people, whatever it is. Again, combining those skills to figure out what's going to feed you but also move you forward because, you know, we love our Starbucks baristas, but I don't want any of them being tortured artists if that's not really where they want to be. So how can I help you turn the thing you actually want to do into music, into money, even if it's not that like large scale money? You know, I want to build you a long career that's kind of go like this, right? A lot of people who go for instant fame and clout, they tend to go shh, shh.
Up and down.
Yeah.
I want to talk about hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
First, how has hip hop changed from the actual genre itself?
Mm-hmm.
And the artists who paved the way and laid that groundwork in hip-hop versus the artists now in today's culture?
That darn capitalism. That's how it changed. When I think about that first group, Furious Five, they just did it for the love, right? And, you know, they toured and found ways to make money, but as is, you know, of course, in New York and in the 80s, they find a way to sell it at mass scale.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere. People on the stage, you know, they just don't care.
Anytime you have somebody doing something at mass scale, here's the first thing. Labels are like, they're just like banks. They give you terrible high interest loans. But not only that, they're going to put their fingers in everything and change the art around. And a lot of times when we see Clear Channel merges into one in the 90s, and then now you have to funnel, you know, bottleneck of the types of music that are being getting radio play, right? Because only a few people are making decisions about what goes out there. It doesn't seem like that bad of an idea at first, but then nobody can see the long-term subversive play of, oh, we're only going to put the music out there that's going to show the worst of the people that created the culture. And so when you say what has changed, you know, people respond to their environments. You know who DaBaby is, right? Y'all know DaBaby can, like, lyrically rap. Like, he can get stupid.
I'm one of the greatest, ain't no debating on it. I'm still levitated, I'm heavily medicated. Ironic, I gave him love and they end up hating on me. She told me she loved me and she been waiting.
But he won't, because that's not what pays the bills. Lyrically, I'll probably be Talib Kweli. But it don't make no sense, you know what I'm saying? And so when I think about even the way I teach, it's like Ikigai. What do you love to do? What does the world need? What can you also get paid for? In that, that's also going to include, hey, I need to feed myself, so I'm going to need some money. Rhapsody. Let's talk about Rhapsody.
Let me talk my Stu Scott. Excuse me on my Tupac. Keep your head up, when did you stop? Love and die. Color your skin, color your eyes.
I saw her on the cover of Harper's Bazaar, I think, today. And the reason I want to talk about Rhapsody is not to shade any other artist, but it's to show you have to be one in 1 million to be recognized purely for the art, especially as a woman, especially as a black woman in today's society, and still make just like a drop of noise in the bigger picture where all that big money is found. Because I bet you, if she wanted to pop up in a bikini, she would have been on cover everything else this fast. That ain't nothing but capitalism.
Black is brown, hazelnut, cinnamon, black tea. And it's all beautiful to me. Call your brothers magnificent. Call all the sisters queens. We all on the same team. Blues and pyrus. No colors ain't a thing.
Let's talk about your beats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play this for just a second, and then you can tell us what we just listened to. What did we just listen to? Tell us a little bit about that.
You listened to the song, the last beat that I made right before I doubted myself that this was the thing that I was supposed to do for the rest of my life. That's what you just listened to. You listened to a representation of how 75% of the best music most listeners won't even get to hear. There's two versions of that song, three versions of that song. And this is the hard part about the music business. If you think that beat is amazing, the song is even better. It's a representation of the type of records that I want to make. I mean, I want to make everything, right? But it showed me, like, oh, I could really make that R&B. And I played the saxophone for 5 years and don't know music theory. I stopped reading the staff a long time ago, but I could play by ear. I made it sound like a band, and I did everything in my computer. Oh, I know how to do a few things here, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what you just listen to, and I appreciate you. It means a lot to me.
I loved that first one that you sent. That it stuck out to me,
and I
knew that was the one that we had to play today.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Lamont, let's talk about the writing camp
that you
are hosting at the U of I.
Yeah, Illini Writing Camp, it's our first one. It's interesting. We kind of got the Boom Boom Room Productions Writing Camp thing down in Atlanta. You know, when we got the center kicked off, I think we thought, okay, well, let's get some people to the camp. We had some students that had kind of paid their way. Maybe we can do scholarships. There's so much red tape when it comes to university, and getting money to students is difficult. And not only that, you know, the amount of money we had set aside, we'd only be able to get one or two students down there. And so we said, well, what if we could do it here? And so I spoke with Tasia, and because there's an issue, she's got to be able to come here. I want to talk about Tasia G for a second. She is an amazing pianist, background vocalist, and alumni of Berklee College of Music. She is also signed. She is an in-house producer for Big Boi, one half of the amazing all-time hip-hop selling duo Outkast. And just in her work at Stankonia and what I was doing down there, we thought, hey, let's try to put this event together. And so the idea is we make hooks in these 10-hour massive studio sessions. We throw cameras in there. We turn every session into a reality show, essentially, and then we put these songs in our sync catalog. We pitch them to be placed in movies, video games, commercials, TV shows. Then when the opportunity arises, we pitch them to Big Boy. I think the idea is, hey, the students need to have that experience. We're already able to connect with Georgia State. DJ Burn One is now there, and they're doing things like this. Okay. I said, okay, we need to have our students doing that. And so that's how the idea was kind of born. We're in the process of selecting not only enrolled students who are songwriters, producers, engineers, artists in their own right, instrumentalists, but also local community folks as well.
Alongside the Boom Boom Room,
mm-hmm.
you are also in collaboration with other community partners and professors launching the proposed Hip Hop Innovation Center.
Yeah.
It's an organization and safe space created for students on campus and for the culture. It was also funded by a grant that you received.
Mm-hmm.
How did the Hip Hop Innovation Center come to be?
I think Adam J. Cruz, you know, who has a love for education, music education, and specifically hip hop, and partnering and doing the program that he was doing over the years, wanted to connect all of the dots. I think a big part of that starts with, you know, Dr. William Patterson. All of his work in the community, you know, whether it's Steam Genius, Ghetto Genius, Street College, Hip Hop Express Bus, all of his work at the Boys and Girls Club, he kind of set the standard and the trajectory for hip hop being accepted in academia. But not only that, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. It's the same place where Ohio State's campus is. And I grew up in the hood. Section 8, food stamps, the whole nine. And it was so hard to get on Ohio State's campus. I had to basically had to like go through some program at school where we got to go every once in a while. And most people I knew didn't get to go. You have this rich international resource, and the kids from the hood can't even touch it unless they can dribble a basketball real well. Dr. P knew that 30 years ago. He started building these programs that would create pipelines for students to be able to reach higher education. I think it was 2017. They gotten a grant where it allowed them to get 4 adjunct positions. And then that's kind of where they were able to get the Hip Hop Express Bus established. They've been doing Illinois summer youth music camps for, you know, I think it's like a 75-year tradition, right? And they added rock camp about 15 years ago. And so Adam, sorry, let's do a hip hop camp. Because of what Dr. P had done, he kind of created the space for, okay, now we'll do the hip-hop camp. With all this programming, right, Adam's like, okay, I want to connect the dots. So that means we probably need a major. But then Adam went to, you know, the dean, and ultimately that leads to going to the provost and said, hey, we want to make this thing official. Adam works with K-12 teachers. He helps build this ecosystem where now hip-hop is a regular part of the music curriculum as much as anything else. Ultimately, it's a part of the ecosystem. If you're a kid that comes from Northside in Champaign and you want to rap, you can come to our camps. Your teacher will know how to teach you when you go to school. You can graduate, take that digital audio workstation, play your music, your raps and your beats, get accepted into school, and then I can help you have a career in music. So I think that's what it was all about.
Dr. William Patterson passed away unexpectedly earlier this month, leaving a huge void in Central Illinois' community. Lamont Holden and other professionals at the university were planning on opening the center the weekend of April 19th. Holden tells us how paramount Dr. P's presence was in the proposed Hip Hop Innovation Center. Who was Dr. P to you?
I'm standing on his shoulders, for real. Like, a lot of what I've been able to do is easy because it was harder for him 30 years ago. I want to say he's a link between the community and the university, but he's a link throughout the, you know, his circle of influence is massive. Dr. P is Street College. Dr. P is Ghetto Genius. Dr. P has got, you know, 10-year-old kids building boom boxes out of Douglas Park. P is a DJ. He is the DJ. He was our reminder that hip hop started in a place for a reason. I remember we had our first meeting about the center. And it was time to name the center. And, you know, we looked at a lot of names, and he's the one that said it needs to be the Hip Hop Innovation Center, because now we're talking about robotics and students writing code to create VSTs. Those VSTs are those little instrument things that we use to programming Legos and, you know, building race cars that play music via Bluetooth and all this, like, creative stuff he was doing. That ghetto genius was real. That's who Dr. P was. At this moment, I'm honored that we were peers, I guess, in a sense. It's weird because, I mean, he was a mentor to me at times as well, too. He's the inspiration. He's the influence. Yeah, man.
How will you carry the torch of Dr. P, and what does the future hold for the Hip Hop Innovation Center?
I mean, I think first and foremost, to take this current role and make it everything it can be, because he basically helped me get this job. Remembering to include community and making sure we keep access to diversity open to all community members. You know what I'm saying? Making sure the bus is seen around town. It's like a mobile studio. During Hip Hop Camp, one of our traditions has become our Wednesday evening party on the quad. We park the bus around the quad. We set the speakers up. We blast the music. We have a DJ that, you know, we're cool with. Or is connected to our program play. And, you know, Dr. P will get on the mic and literally it's like 1979 all over again. It's like, oh, that's what, like, MCing is. Like, yeah, it's rapping, but, like, you talking to the crowd. You calling out the person you know. Like, he reminds you, like, this is all that it is. Not just press and play on the trap beat on FL Studio, you know what I'm saying? So, first of all, better eulogies to come. More remembrances and memorials to come, certainly.
How important is it to you to make sure that this bridge is continuing to be built between the community and the university?
If it's not, then our mission is burnt to begin with. It would be absolutely exploitative not to.
You're a leader in music production. And this all started when Dr. P helped provide that opportunity to you, giving you a job at the U of I. It takes a village. How important is it to do this work with your village?
I mean, it's everything. Let's say if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Right, so cliche, but it's true. It's true. There's a kid right now who's in eighth grade that I'm like, all right, he'll be ready for campus culture in about 3 years. All of this is a part of the ecosystem that gives people an opportunity.
What is the legacy you want to leave behind?
You know, it's a tough question, right? Yeah. I mean, for so many reasons, good music. It's a thousand new artists born every day. And out of them, there's a song that's going to make sure somebody chooses not to take their life. There's a song that's going to get them through the last mile on the marathon. There's a song that's going to inspire them to finish school, make sure they get to work on time every day. And there's a song that's going to make sure the house gets clean. There's a song that's going to help make sure, you know, we have that last little bit of energy to get the kids off to school and do everything we need to do. Music is important. I hope that I'm creating a frequency that puts the best music out into the world. And then I hope that my name can be on some of that music. I hope I can use that to feed my family. I hope I can use the resources that come with that to create those same opportunities for other people.
What is coming up that students and the CU community can keep an eye out for?
On Sunday, April 21st, we got a Illini Writing Camp, the first ever. If you would like to apply for Illini Writing Camp, hit up Teja G on Instagram at TEJAHG. We do have our last episode of Campus Culture is shooting on April 27th. And we actually have one slot left. One slot. That's what the community needs to look out for.
Lamont Holden, thank you so much for joining us today and having this dialogue.
Kennedy, is this the first one?
Yes.
This is the first one. No, give it up. It's the first one. You know what I mean? Because there's going to be a 50 and a 100. So don't forget the first one. I'm honored to be the first one. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was Lamont Holden on Dialogue. You can get in touch with him or sign up for his upcoming camps by following at Illinois Hip Hop Camp on Instagram. Next up, we're honoring Dr. William Patterson and speaking with his closest family friends and colleagues on his legacy. Dr. William Patterson was an innovator and engineer. Most of his family and friends knew him as the ghetto genius. He was a visionary. Some knew him as a father figure. Others knew him as Dr. P or Reese. Dr. Patterson was a professor at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign School of Music. He was much more than that, though. He was a community leader and hip-hop link for the Champaign-Urbana area. He was constantly on to the next project, says his family and friends, to help his community, teaching value, purpose, and engaging with all to create a change for those in marginalized areas. People across Central Illinois are remembering Dr. Patterson's legacy. The 58-year-old educator passed away unexpectedly earlier this month. He created the Rap House, Studio 109, the Hip Hop Express Bus, and Steam Genius. He helped form the Urban League and All Girls Radio. He was a board member on Illinois Soul, and his contributions to the community stemmed from his time working with youth at the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club in the late 1990s and STEM-related projects. Have you caught the theme yet? Hip-hop was at the forefront and embedded in everything that Dr. P did. In this episode, we're celebrating his life, legacy, and deep impact in the community for youth, education, and arts. So what is the Ghetto Genius, you ask? Well, let's listen to Dr. P himself.
When you really think about Ghetto Genius, it's really beyond hip-hop. It's really looking at this particular piece. It's not what hip-hop can do, because hip-hop is just a component of Ghetto Genius. It's about what Ghetto Genius can do. It's about the lived experiences of people that have to iterate every day because of their lived situations.
Three, two, yeah. It's time!
Girl.
I spoke with some of his closest family radio. Friends and colleagues. Radio. They shared candid moments about how they first met and all of the projects that he did, including All Girls Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Girls Radio Show. I'm your host, Soenya.
And this is Breezy G.
Hey, Breezy.
This is Will Patterson. I'm so glad you could join me. You're actually in my makerspace that I call the Doodle Hole. This is where I get my inspiration to create amazing courses like Decoding Dr. Dre, Hip Hop Entrepreneurship, and Hip Hop Informatics. This wall is what I call going from static, meaning taking data, and making it into informatic, looking at ways to inspire new technology, new entrepreneurship opportunities for young people.
I spoke with Mr. Johnny Campbell, also known as J-Rock. He met Dr. P at the Rap House in 1997. J-Rock heard about the Rap House being a hotspot in Champaign, and coming from Chicago, he was intrigued to find a place for all the good music. The day Johnny walked in, he was sold a bunch of CDs by Dr. P himself. And when Johnny walked out, Dr. P had already offered him a job. Mr. Johnny Campbell, aka J-Rock, thank you for having this dialogue with me.
I appreciate you having me.
When you walked into the Rap House, did that connection feel immediate? He's selling you these CDs and then he offers you a job right away. How did that feel when you guys first met?
Well, it was more or less like, I can't believe I'm a salesman. And I just let this man hustle me out of all. I'm the hustler. I just got hustled is how I felt. But it was like, it was a respectful hustle. I like this dude, you know. And I think he mutually felt the same way once we started to dialogue. And just, it wasn't even about the music anymore. It was just about two guys in two different places in life trying to go somewhere. And we had a common ground on where we were trying to go. So it just, it was organic.
How did that common ground build from day one until 2001 with the end of the Rap House?
From day one, when I came in the store, a small family ran business. Him and his wife were actually operating a small business. It became something to me that was bigger than just, hey, I just need a job. And he saw that and he was like, hey, this business is bigger than those people that walk through the door. He put me in line to be able to go to a Peoria who had the closest music store like his in the area and start putting our music on their shelves and also bringing music from Peoria and bringing it back here. And I already knew about the Chicago market, so I was able to go up there and bring more music down, and that trickled into Indianapolis, and we're going to St. Louis taking trips. And it's like every weekend we were going somewhere else, putting our music on shelves and as well as bringing more music to the Champaign area that people hadn't at that point heard of at the time. I was the only one that believed in what he believed in. So the common ground was already there because, again, it's just two men on a path and we both see the end goal and we believe in the same thing at the same time, and it just worked that way for us to where he was able to walk away from the store and say, I know I can leave this person here and my store's in good hands. Me being from Chicago didn't mean nothing when this man's big brain right here from Champaign just was always a step ahead of everybody. He showed you that I'm bigger than Champaign, even though I'm from Champaign. And that's just who he was. He pushed hip hop. He was the forefather of it. If he wasn't the forefather of it, he's definitely one of the orators that makes sure that the youth know where it started from, where it's been, and where it's going. He's always been part of that. Dr. P is one of the most genuine brothers, friends, dudes that I ever met since I've been in this town. Gonna miss him, love him very much. Peace out to Dr. Patterson, aka Reese. Man, love you, salute.
Our next guest is Dante Lotz. He currently works at the Trauma and Resilience Initiative. He first heard of Dr. Patterson when he moved to Urbana as a kid. Back then, their paths barely crossed, but then in 2000, they became permanently connected. After working together on initiatives in collaboration with the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club and Studio 109, another business Dr. Patterson and his wife Lori Gold Patterson owned together. Mr. Dante Lotz, thank you for joining us on Dialogue.
My pleasure.
Ever since 2000, your paths never really stopped crossing. What did that look like? What was your friendship like?
He treated me as well as I treated him like we'd always known each other. You know, he'd had his challenges in life, and I could relate because I had plenty of males in my life, including my biological dad that spent 31 and a half years incarcerated and, you know, had to get acclimated back to the community. There was just a great appreciation for his resiliency and for him pouring into anybody that he met. He just let you know that you can accomplish anything. That was his spirit.
How did you see Ghetto Genius shifting the Champaign-Urbana culture?
I can recall people when he got his doctorate degree in hip-hop culture. What? You know, that's not a truth. But it's like, yes, it is. He put in the work. This is something he believe in. We tell our kids, or we should be telling our kids, when you're pursuing a career, make sure it's something that you love. Whatever he had, he shared it. Whatever he had, he gave it. He was also instrumental in the Boys to Men mentoring. We lost the leader of that about a month and a half ago. And so it's been hitting in our community. And we just have to find a way to continue to pass the torch, continue to move forward with the momentum. So whoever's listening to this, whoever ears this is falling on, we have to be in the mode of constantly training our replacements. As individuals are leaving this earth, we have to find a way to continue embracing their spirits, to find a way to continue building others up versus tearing them down further. And we have to focus on being well. I just read the last text message he sent me. And that was the statement that I read. I'm like, man, he always said that. Let's get it popping. Let's get it cracking. You know, and so, and that's what he went to go do.
Dante Lotz, thank you for having this dialogue with me.
My total pleasure. And love me some Dr. P. And he will be surely missed. We just got to make sure that we keep his spirit moving. So thank you.
Thank you. Our next guest is Dante Scott. He currently worked with Dr. P for Steam Genius as a street college mentor. He knew Dr. P since he was 13. He helped him decorate the Hip Hop Express bus as a kid. And as he played basketball at Douglas Park, he always saw Dr. P and heard the music. He was curious and wanted to learn more. I asked Dante, how would he describe the Ghetto Genius?
The Ghetto Genius is every black person in America, for real. Every kid going through school, going through life. So he calls the kids college students. All of the kids that's going through school, we call them college students. And he was dear to that. He believed that every kid, and me and him would go back and forth on it, because I had this mentality that, well, college ain't for every kid. Dr. P didn't believe that. Dr. P believed that every kid deserved to be on a collegiate level. The Ghetto Genius is you being the creator of what you believe in and what you like, taking something out of nothing, you know, being in the hood and figuring out how you take the resources around you and turn them into a revenue to make money, or a way to express yourself through music or through art. Dr. P definitely told me about, you know, his stories as a child before and after prison. And he always called himself a doctor. So I think in terms of vision boards, if you see it, you will be it. I was lost. I didn't know what I was going to do, where I was going to go. I didn't know what potential was. When I met Dr. P, it was actually through a program called the Youth Media Workshop. It was Dr. P and Kimberly Cranick. And I had seen Dr. P on the streets of the North End, and he'd be out with speakers and beating loud from around the block, and I'm like a kid, and we playing basketball. I'm like, where's that music coming from?
Yeah, you're kind of curious.
Yeah, and I was a soul child, so you bumping Frankie Beverly and Maze, and I'm like, where is that coming from? You know, so I would go and chase it down. I kind of found a calling there, and then me and Dr. P kind of took off together from there. Dr. P became a father for me through all of that. He was not only a mentor, but he was truly a father, the only father that I've ever known. You know, it's one thing to be someone's dad or someone's, you know, donor or whatever, right? But to say that you're a father, that really means something. And I can truly say that that is the only father that I've ever knew. He is the reason for my success today. The reason that I'm a DJ, the reason I know how to run a business. He sparked that interest. He planted that seed in me and he watered it.
You work a lot with the youth as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to continue that? How do you want to water their seeds and just let them know that no matter what they want to do, they can achieve it and there is no limits?
Through my own experience, because like I told you, I didn't know what potential was, but Dr. P saw potential in me at 13 and he helped me figure out what that was. Through my struggles and what I went through, I was able to use that as a way to motivate myself rather than an excuse for a failure. Being able to teach that, be an example of that with the kids, first and foremost. One of Dr. P's saying was, and it don't stop. That's what he would say all the time. And it don't stop. And it don't stop. And it don't stop. And it don't stop. And so I hear that in my head every day. And I will forever hear that, you know, in my work with the kids. And it don't stop. No matter what, it don't stop. Even with him being gone, when he said it don't stop, this is what it meant.
I took that cultural wealth that has been the legacy of the African-American experience here on this campus, where I got a chance to broadcast hip-hop, and I made that my trajectory to be where I'm at today, which is in the College of Engineering and Technology Entrepreneurship. Because people always ask me, how did you get hip-hop in the College of Engineering? And it's based on that phrase right there. Look at what hip-hop can do.
This is Dialogue from Illinois Soul. We send our thoughts and condolences to all of Dr. Patterson's family, friends, and those touched by his work. If you'd like to support Dr. P's legacy, you can donate at steamgenius.org. Any students age 8 through 24 that would like to join the STEAM Genius program as mentees can sign up at steamgenius.org. If you're looking for resources while grieving, the Trauma and Resilience Initiative offers support and free counseling. With wellness and grief groups, you can contact Donte Lotz personally at donte@cu, Trauma Resilience, Inc. Dialogue's executive producers are Nidhi Shastri and myself, Kennedy Vincent. Contributing producers include our news and public affairs director, Reginald Hardwick. Dialogue's theme song and beats were created by Lamont Holden and production assistance by Steve Mork. Dialogue is a part of Illinois Soul and Illinois Public Media. Join us for our next dialogue every Saturday morning at 11 and Tuesday nights at 7 on Illinois Soul FM 101.1 and WILL AM 580 Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Love me.